Okay, let's declare God's word as we start again today. Let us say we are being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Say, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Let's say it again. I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Because I'm being filled with knowledge of His will. All right, so as the word of God is coming for this evening, it is entering into my heart. It is giving me direction. It is giving me understanding. It is giving me insight. It is delivering to me my own inheritance amongst those who are sanctified. In Jesus' name. It's our school of prayer again. We want to continue from where we stopped last time. I remember last time I was talking about the matter of activating grace by prophetic words. And I think I should just quickly pick up from there. I'm going to read two scriptures to begin today. Remember, we're talking about power to possess the land, because in our teachings, our kingdom series teachings, we have been talking about going and possess the land. So we want to talk about power to possess the land, as how do we pray to cooperate with what God wants to do in our lives, as in making us successful outwardly in this life, making us successful in our careers, in our businesses, in everything that we are doing. How do we cooperate with Him by prayer so that we can succeed? Now let us start once again from the book of 1 Timothy. I just want to pick up from precisely where we stopped last time. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now it's just something that Paul wrote to Timothy. We read that last time. He said in verse 18, he said, "This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have wrecked and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith." Now he was giving me a set of words, things to do, and he said, "This thing that I'm telling you to do, so that you can," he said, "in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you." And what was he telling him? That is this to enable him to fight the good fight, so he can wage the good warfare. And that's what Paul was saying prophecies are meant to be used for. Now, I wanted to just quickly open to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, there's a word there I want to read. Now, Peter was writing from verse 1. He says, "Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours." And that was just introduction. Jump to verse 2. He said, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and excellence." He said, "For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." Now, and I said, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance," and all of that. Let me just stop here. Because the main thing I want to bring forth is what he said in verses 3 and 4. He says, "Seeing that His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. By this He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them we may become partakers of the divine nature." Those are the two things I want to really bring out from there. Please, let's back up again to verse 2. It said, "Grace and peace is multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord because of this." That's from verse 3 now. Now, I just wanted to bring out the word grace there. Now, let's go by it again. I don't want to do what I did last time. I ended up teaching throughout, okay, even though the teaching was a blessing. Now, remember what I've been saying? If you were around last Tuesday, what I was trying to explain was how to activate grace. I just want to remind us briefly concerning what grace is. Grace is the power of God that works towards you. Grace is when God opens a door and all you need to do is step through it. Grace is when the word of God goes out to arrange things for you. We said something last time, let me say it again. The word of God works. The word of God works. We read from that book of Hebrews chapter 4. Of course, we all know that one. In verse 12, it said the word is living and active. Please, everybody say after me, the word works.
The word works.
The word works.
The word works.
Say it like you believe it, the word works.
The word works.
Now, I'm trying to emphasize this. Please, listen to this. The word of God is not a principle. Do you get my point? The word of God is not a law. The word of God is not a method. That's what I want to emphasize when I said the word works. The word of God is alive, is living. We need to emphasize this. It can think. It can move things. It can start an engine. It can drive a car. It can call people and they will hear. It can kill. It can deliver a toxic dose, all right, of tree killer to a tree that was alive before it heard the word. It can make a Lazarus that was dead live. Please, I hope you're getting my point. The word works. Christians often make the mistake of thinking the word of God is a set of principles. Do you understand? You know, you do this, then he will do this. It's like you press his button, you know, there are certain keys, you press them. Listen, I'm not saying that there are no principles that we operate as believers. There are things that are called precepts, and we've talked about them before. There are precepts in Christianity. That's a part of the word of God, all right? In fact, let me say that's one of the manifestations of the presence of God's word. It brings order into a society. The word of God tells you how to park your car. Yes, it can tell, it can do that. But that's not what we mean when we say the word of God works. What we mean the word works is that if God says, this place will be full of people by tomorrow, there's no principle to use to bring them. When it's telling you that, it's not telling you, go and look for how to arrange and call people. What it's telling you, just wake up in the morning and get ready to come on time, because all these streets you are seeing, all the land around will be full of people. Assuming it's a big arena. That's what we mean when it says the word works. It says, seek from the book of the Lord and read. None of this shall fail. None shall lack its mate. He said, because when the mouth of God commands, his spirit will go out and go and gather. That's what I mean when I say the word works. I mean, when God says something, the word of God knows how to arrange to bring it to pass. You are getting my point? We're talking about succeeding in a career, in business, materially, outwardly. What we are saying, like last time I quoted, that Strive Masiwiwa said, he used the principle of the living Christ inside him and raised $1.5 billion for his business. The word works. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. The word can cause some. I mean, you've declared the word of God that help will come to me, and you're in the center of the Sahara Desert. The word will make a man lose his way until he gets to where you are. That's what we're emphasizing. The word works means that the word is an independent person who can think, who can fight, who can arrange, who can organize, who can cause a door to open or shut it and hold it. That's what we mean when we say the word works. That is what is unique to being a believer. That is the unique thing about it. The word works. Let us say it again. The word works.
The word works.
You are not saying like you believe it too.
The word
works. One more time.
The word works.
Chair of brethren.
The word works.
Chair of brethren. The word works, so. The word is even medicine. It's medicine. If you've been following our radio series, there's one that's running now on divine health, all right? That's what I'm trying to emphasize to people. That when the word of God enters into your life, the Bible says in that book of Proverbs chapter 4, it said the word is medicine to every part of your body. The word doesn't teach you the principles of getting well. No. It says, take me, you will get well. I don't know. Are you getting my point? It just goes in. How many of you know how antibiotics work? Most people, 99% of human beings have no idea. Only those who are specially trained in how they work will know. But people take it and it works. They have an infection, they put in antibiotics. The antibiotic works. Kills the bacteria. How does it do it? What's your business? Just follow the instructions. Take it four times a day. Take it for 7 days. You take it for 7 days. You share the infection, it is gone. So what is the only principle you know is take it 4 times a day. The word of God is like that. It solves problems. It creates jobs. It fires people that are working in wrong places. I hope you're getting my point. It fires people that are working in wrong places. It separates relationships. I love you one boy that God said you shouldn't love. The world will just make him go mad. Because of you, start smoking. He knows you can't stand an Indian smoker, Indian hemp smoker. The boy won't know what's wrong with him. It's the world that is working. Why? Because you woke up one morning in your house and you said, in the name of Jesus, I will serve God all my life. God said, okay, you started it, not me. You declared me. And the word goes out and says, every wrong relationship here, out of the window. The word creates relationships. You are getting my point? It does. The word gives you strength to do what you could not do yourself. The word came forth to Ezekiel. He said to Ezekiel, stand on your feet. I want to talk to you. And Ezekiel said, how can I stand on my feet? Now, he didn't say it. I'm putting words in his mouth. That's in that Ezekiel chapter 2. In verse 2, he says, as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. Ezekiel could not have gotten up by himself, because if you read the previous verse, which is the last verse of chapter 1, he said, as the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God, and when I saw it, I fell. Are you getting my point? I fell on my face. The word came to him and said, stand up. No, I didn't decide to lie down. It was not out of humility or prostrating before the glory of God. No, I fell. It's called falling under the power. I fell under the anointing. Then the word said, get up. Somebody said, the word works.
The word works.
It can make a man that fell down under any kind of influence get up to his feet. He said, when he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. No wonder the Lord Jesus Christ said, the words that I speak, they carry a spiritual substance that imparts standing into anybody that hears it. You are getting what the Lord was saying here. Say to your neighbor again, the word works. So. It is medicine. Tell somebody it is medicine.
It is
medicine. It
is money.
Oh, it has purchasing power. No, I'm preaching now. Let me do my work. It does. Like we read last time, when we were speaking, when I said that, is money the one that is good? No, it is God that is good. And my friend responded to it, to that short sermon, and said, there is a transacting ability inside God's word. What we need is to know how to convert it to reality. Early this morning, my wife and I sat and talked for like 30 minutes on how I was telling her I've been provoked again to start studying faith. If the Lord permits us to return next year and continue this work the way we are doing it, don't be surprised if I start and state this year I want to teach on the activity of faith. You know why I have to use the word activity? I talk about the power of faith, the life of faith, the walking by faith. I have used like 7 different ways to talk about faith. So we'll keep on manufacturing new words. We have the force of faith, so we'll just look for the activity of faith. Now, while we are saying all of these things, all right, I want to just emphasize the meaning of the word works again. Because unconsciously, Christians, you know, we don't really think overtly about it. It's just behind our minds that we think it's a principle. That, you know, when I've told you before, people will say that 17 keys to a happy marriage. Like I told you, you can learn it too, but don't believe it too much. The main thing for us believers is what? The word works. That's what I'm going to emphasize. We unconsciously think it's a set of principles we walk by. No. There was a woman. She was an adulteress. And she was caught in the act of adultery. And they said to the Lord Jesus, what do we do? They wanted to trap him, you know? You know this principle. Let us see whether he will say, kill her. Which was what Moses said. That way he gets in trouble with the Roman authorities. Because capital punishment was reserved only for the Roman conquerors. They could not, that's why when they went to kill Jesus, they had to take him to Pilate. So if he said, kill her, if he said, let her go, they said, hey, you're against Moses. So the man was between the, like this, the Americans would say, was between the rock and the hard place. If he said, let her go, you're disobeying Moses. If he said, kill her, you are in trouble with the Roman authorities. They, of course, know the story. The Lord Jesus now looked and said, those of you without sin, throw the first stone. You know, just again, I want to digress a bit, okay? I want to digress a bit. But you know, we'll keep learning, amen? I used to say before, based on spiritual understanding, in fact, David said that, teach me thy precepts, so that when I see your commandments, I will not be ashamed. And really, that's what happened to me. That is, just by understanding the precepts, I said, Jesus could not have said, those of you have never stolen, throw the first stone. When he said, those of you without sin, throw the first stone. He didn't say, those of you have never maybe dishonored your parents, throw the first stone. After I read it, I said, what Jesus said is that those of you have never committed adultery, throw the first stone. Even though what he said literally was, those of you without sin. I said this years ago. In fact, I remember one of our sisters still wrote me and said that she doesn't really think it's like that too. Because I said, well, one thing is certain. There's a principle in spiritual things. For Jesus to say that the sin he's referring to must have been a sin deserving of death. That's, like I said, it's an aside. Then, a few months ago, I was listening to David Paulson, a man who he analyzed scriptures a lot. He said the law of Moses, that Jesus was not saying anything new, that the law of Moses was clear on it. The law of Moses did not allow you to bear witness in a sin you are guilty of. I said, oh. Like I said, that's an aside. But the Lord Jesus said to them that those of you without sin, throw the first stone. Now, if you read my book, Choice is Key to Destiny, in that I explain a particular principle there. That what the Lord Jesus was saying, that Jesus was not showing her mercy per se alone. He was showing her understanding. Understanding was the primary thing he was showing. What was the understanding in it? That this woman is an adulteress because of the pressure of the society. A society where a group of men came to accuse a woman of adultery, and not one of them was innocent. Know what he was saying? It is going to be difficult in this kind of place for your women not to commit adultery. Look, go and read my book, Choice is Key to Destiny. Analyze it inside there. Now listen, I'm going somewhere. Why am I being dramatic about this? I want to emphasize to us what was happening to that woman. She was under a force, a power that compelled her to commit adultery. That's what Jesus was saying. That wasn't just her. That is a societal sin that people come under. That is why, again, I'm digressing, right? I will digress. That's why when Nigerians leave Nigeria and go to America, their own divorce rate, it just merges with the society there. They leave Nigeria, go to UK, the divorce rate the same. Well, if they were at home, you hear here today that they fought, you go and greet them together in the house, they don't fight again, oh. But if it's in America, next thing you know is fall for divorce. You now say, I'm Bruce, how's your wife? Oh, you mean my ex-wife? I saw her last week. Because we're having shared custody 2 weeks in, 2 weeks out. You have boy for 2 weeks. The same thing. You know why? It's an environmental, pardon me to use this expression. It's an environmental anointing. I had to borrow the word. Which, when I listened to Derek Prince talking about aggressive prayer, he said that spirit, when he landed in America, landed in Reno, Nevada. He said that spirit arrived in Reno, Nevada. And the spirit said, what's my job? Break down the families. I'm emphasizing something. So you can have an environmental influence that compels people to do iniquity. And when Jesus said, don't stone that woman, he was saying simply, it's not her fault. She's under a power. Again, that's not my message. You know my message? He now turned to her. Somebody say, the word works.
The word works.
Say, the word works.
The word works.
He turned to her and said, where are your accusers? Say, they've all gone. He said, neither do I condemn you. Now, this is the word. This is the word. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Somebody say, the word works.
The word works.
Know what he just did? He just infused that with a power to shake off the environmental pressure. And next time, anybody comes to entice her to adultery, the guy is in trouble. You? Who are you? Your father, the devil. Say, where did you get energy from? The word works. The word strengthened me. Now I can stand despite the pressures. Listen, most Nigerians who are corrupt, it's not them. But turn to the Christian beside you. Say, the word works.
The word works.
Tell the person, go.
Go.
Don't be corrupt.
Don't be corrupt.
That's an empowerment. They can't force you anymore. They can't. They can't. They can't. You can be a policeman, a customs officer. You can be anything. You will not be corrupt. Why? The word works. Jesus looked at the woman who was under a lot of pressure. Said, let me give you something. Take this. Go and sin no more. One of the things I want to teach today, all right, so I use it to pray, is for us to know that go with God is not an instruction, it's an empowerment. When God says go, it's not an instruction. It's empowerment. When he tells you go, not be instructional. It's empowerment. He says, go in. Go in and go and possess the land. That's how you will know you are supposed to take the land. That's how you will know you have the power to take. Somebody please, say it with me again. Say, the word works.
The word works.
Say it again, the word works.
The word works.
Listen, the word of God is living. That's what he was saying, that Hebrews chapter 4. It's alive, it's active. It can do things by itself. It can see a woman that was under the pressure, the spiritual bondage of adultery, to break that force, then she can walk free. It's not like, I mean, everybody knew that shall not come in that. It was there. It was there all the while. And the men were committing adultery. Until the word came direct into the heart of that young woman, she was under bondage. If we are going to succeed in life, we have to allow the word work for us. That's what we've been saying, all of these things. When we are praying, we don't pray desires. This is a school of prayer. We don't pray desires. Desire in itself is a rudimentary element in prayer. When we pray, we release the word to work. That is what our prayer is. Our prayer is when we are releasing God's word to work. Listen, you've learned enough as a child of God, if you've been studying what does here, to know that you don't go into prayer to be saying, God, see me. You see all kinds of posters. Auntie, wait till I do you. I saw one when I traveled. You know, I was not around on Saturday. I had to come down from the car. I said, bros, wait, let me go and photograph this one. You see all kinds of posters. You see, auntie, wait till I do you. Annual witch killing conference. People gather to be killing witches. I've seen the one I'm looking for. Packaged in the city, tied in the village. I have to come down from the car to go and photograph it. Packaged in the city, tied in the village. One of the ministers, the man looks tied in the village. If you see, they can't see the photo. I thought it was the patient. That is not the way we pray. Our prayer is to release the anointing in the word. As Paul wrote to Timothy, you are going to do your warfare by prophecy. You get my point? You are going to succeed by prophecy. You are going to have victory because you learn to prophesy. You get my point? In prayer, we are not praying desires primarily. We are releasing the word so it can work. And that's all warfare is about. I said everything I said up to this point to emphasize the fact that we shouldn't be concerned about how the word will work. We should know it will work.
One of the things I said before is that the word, when it gets to the place where you need wisdom, it will grant you the wisdom. That's what I want to understand. When the word gets to a place in the fulfillment of that word where you need help, it will bring you help. There was a young woman, young lady. An angel came up to her one day, said, "You are going to have a son." And the girl said, "How shall this thing be? It doesn't fit everything we know about the principle of conception, the situation around." And the angel said, "Don't worry about it. No word of God is void of power. It's void of ability. It has muscle. It has strength." He said, "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Don't worry. The word knows what it's doing. The word arranged everything, closed the door so that she could deliver where the word wanted." Please say it again. The word works.
The word
works. The word gives admission. The word is not to be helped. It's to be cooperated with. At each point, the word gives you the wisdom you need. We've talked about David many times. When David was declaring the word against Goliath, he did not know exactly what he was going to do. That's my persuasion. When he went to Joseph, to Saul, Saul said, "Wear this." He wore it. "Put this one, it's very good for fight." The boys tried to get up. He said, "This is a problem you're adding to my situation." He said, "I've not used it before. This is my persuasion." After that point, the boy looked. This guy is coming down. Then he had a word of wisdom. The word granted him wisdom. And that wisdom was what played out, and Goliath died. Go and read the rest of this history of the Jews. There was no other giant that was stoned in the head. Then he collapsed, and then they killed him. Most other giants were tackled by big men who had different techniques for fighting giants. Caleb and his sons could fight giants. Maybe later on in life, David would have fought the giant in a different method when he was older, more experienced in war. But that time when he was a small boy, the word granted him that wisdom. Please say it with me again. The word works. He said, when the mouth of God utters, his spirit is released and it goes out to go and gather. So what's our duty? How do we succeed as believers? How do we receive our victory? How do we do our businesses? What's our spiritual MBA? How do we execute it? That's what I'm teaching. It is to activate the word. It's to activate God's word. How do we activate it? By prophesying. I said last time there are two realms of prophecy. The first level is when the prophecy is given to you. That is when you hear it. Like now, that's what I'm doing right now. I am prophesying to you by teaching you the word of God. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's what I'm doing. I'm telling you the word of God. That's the first level. Then there's a second level. The second level is when you now take those words and begin to do your own personal warfare. Paul said to Timothy, "I was there when hands were laid upon you. I was there when prophecies were uttered, and you have a spiritual gift." He said, what do you need to do? Begin to stir up the gift. Don't be timid, my friend. Stir up the gift. Get up, stir up the gift. One way you stir up the gift is by prophesying again. I like the expression prophesying again, because the angel told John in that book of Revelations, he said, you must prophesy again. You must prophesy again. God gave words to Jeremiah. He said, these are the words concerning the judgment of Babylon. And Jeremiah wrote everything in the book and gave to Sarai, his secretary. He said, now walk with them down to Babylon. When you get there, bring out the book. And then read all the words over Babylon. Then tie this book to a stone and throw it into the Euphrates and say, thus will Babylon go down and not rise again. These were words that Jeremiah had prophesied for a long time. Then one day, bundled everything, gave it to a man, said, go to Babylon and declare these words over Babylon. That's what I call the second level of prophesying. That's how you activate the word to begin to work. That's how you do it. When you speak those words, suddenly the Bible says that the angels hearken to the voice of his word. I'm happy the Bible did not say the angels hearken to God when he speaks. No. Okay, let's open to it quickly. Let's read Psalm 103. Except from verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty or kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word. Now notice the next line. Obeying the voice of his word. What's the job of angels? To perform his word, his commandments, his instructions. How do they get initiated? He said they are initiated when they hear the voice of his word. He didn't say the voice of God. Did you notice that? That is, they don't obey God. I'm not saying they don't at all. I'm trying to say something out here. Alone. They obey the voice that utters his word. Those is when we're young, they say, speak to angels. Later I said, no, you don't need to talk to angels. Just speak the word. They will hear. You are getting my point? Just speak the word. Like when you say, thus will Babylon go down and not rise again. The angels will say, well, yeah, we are the ones that are supposed to bring Babylon down. They are fired. That spirit in the word enters them. War starts. What am I going to say? That is the power of prophesying. Believers, you don't just read, and have information. The word of God is not information you store in your mind. It's a weapon you can archive and bring out when you need. Are you getting my point? It's a weapon. And it does not give details. I said it before. The word is not logical. It's not logical. You will come this way, you attack, you do like this, you rest. You just say, go in and go and possess the land. As you are going, like I said, each point when you need wisdom, the word will supply something new. You get to a place that you don't know how to tackle it, the word will supply something new. The soldiers are tired. You say, no, we are to possess the land. Water will come out from the ground for them to drink. That's how it works. But my teaching, our assignment for this season is to activate the word for success and activate the word for victory. When we're talking about spiritual MBA, when people go to physical MBA, what do they go to learn? Methods of doing business. How to negotiate. How to get people to come to your side. How to get investors. How to do accounting. That's what they learn in MBA. Then when you do spiritual MBA, what you learn in spiritual MBA is the right words to speak in the realm of the spirit so that those same things will happen for you. You utter a word and you can't lose money. Do you know angels can do accounting for you? That's the thing. That's spiritual MBA. So go and learn the... Human MBA learns methods. Spiritual MBA, you learn words to speak. Listen, these scriptures, every weapon, all kinds, for every situation, is archived in the word of God. Our duty is to take the words and release. So we'll tell you something like the sword of the realm of the spirit, which is the word of God. We analyze the other time, if you go down even to a shield of faith, all of them, they are based on the word. What is faith anyway? Do you get my point? So talk about the shield of faith. What is the gospel of truth? They are all the word. It's how it is applied at each point. That sword of the spirit is a spoken word, the one we give direct instructions concerning. Jesus looked at a tree and said, no one will eat of your fruit again. It sounds simple. Dude, that's very powerful. What is the fruit? I was teaching, I was not around over the weekend. So where I was teaching, one of the days was a healing seminar. So I had to teach that one. I was in something, listen, that when Jesus said to the tree, no one will eat of your fruit again. That's a very powerful prayer for healing. Yes. The sword of the spirit. Just, you tell somebody, tell you have migraine, you have one desire the other. Said, listen, my friend, no one will eat of your fruit again. It means everybody in the house will sleep. You won't take my money. What is the fruit? You are taking money I'm supposed to use to do something else. I'm paying to buy some expensive medicine. That's eating of the fruit. You are getting my point. You are taking, when I'm supposed to be sleeping, you are taking away sleep. That's called eating of the fruit. It's a powerful word. The Lord Jesus didn't tell the tree, die from the root. They say, what will happen now is that the root, you will die. Then some of those things we say to keep ourselves busy prophesying. Now you break it down so that the prophesying can be plenty. You have to pray a whole night. You can't be saying the same thing all the time. Sometimes you utter, really. But Jesus just took a glance. Oh God, may we have that kind of faith and spiritual power in us. Amen. Y'all look at the tree. No one will eat here again. And the angels hearkened. The word went and walked and said, what do we do? We kill this tree from the root. And this is what I like about the Lord Jesus. He said it, and that was it. He wasn't coming back to the tree to check what happened to that tree. It was disciples that said, this tree that you cursed is dead. Because, you know, it was a dangerous thing. After that, I'm sure they were always walking behind him. I mean, you know, stray bullet. Nobody. Before he fires another one, you're in the way. So the boys decided that, well, from now on, anything he says is yes, sir. Because if he says, Peter, don't talk again, that's the end. Do you understand my point? Oh, the Lord is good. What am I going to say? Sometimes we don't even need too many details. We just give the end result, but from God's word. We don't prophesy desires. We prophesy what he has spoken. I said something earlier. Go in. As far as God is concerned, it's not counsel, it's not advice. It's empowerment to do well. To that woman, go. The consequence of go is what? Sin no more. Empowerment not to sin anymore. So when it says to you, go in and possess the land, you know what that means? You have been empowered. You have been empowered. You have been what? Empowered. And I like one thing Jesus said when he was being tempted by the devil. He just gave him the word that he had been given. Man shall not live by bread alone. Just by uttering that word, the desire to eat bread made out of stone vanished. He said, turn these stones to bread. He said, man shall, you must understand the way the word works. Man shall not live by bread alone. It's not, I would like to eat too, but God will be offended. So let's not do it. You know, it will displease him. That's the rudimentary level of obedience. When he says, man shall not live by bread alone, that word entered into him and stood him on his feet, and every desire for bread made out of stone disappeared. Please, I hope you're getting my point. That is, I say, when you declare the word of God, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. I can take the land. The next morning you want to sleep. Sleep will say you can't sleep. Your mates have gone out of the house. Are you getting my point? You would have loved to sleep, but the desire for sleep. Yesterday you were a sleeping man. Your call, you know, you had a passion for bed. You know, we discussed it before. You say, what's my passion? I said, forget passion. Just be responsible. You will discover the passion along the way. Some people will never find out their passion. They're not doing anything. There's a way you speak the word. You wake up in the morning and you just don't. That is, stay in this house? No. You won't know what's pushing you. It's the word that is what? Working. You didn't give details, though. You just said, I will go in and possess my land. It is written. God has set an inheritance before me. The word is delivering to me my inheritance amongst those who are sanctified. And you're saying that what's in your mind is I have to be productive, I have to be successful, I must be materially productive in life. As you are saying that, you want to sleep. By 5 o'clock, one angel kicks you, bros, get up. We hearken to the voice of the word. And what we're about to do in your life, this is time to wake up, go and bathe. You don't have a work, you don't have an office, so 7:30, you find yourself getting dressed. And your mother comes and says, where are you going? Are you going to work? You have finished getting ready before you realize that you are ready for work. So are you going to work? Yeah, I think so. Now, there are diversities of manifestation. Somebody say amen. There's no one way God does these things. Diversities of manifestations. You just come out that morning, you're just standing there. Then one of your friends says, what are you doing? Say, my brother, I don't know. I just arrived here. Enter the car. Let's go somewhere. What's he going to do? He's going to go and buy something, make some purchases. Now, while he's buying his own, your eye goes to one other end. What is that? Before you know what's happening, you are beginning to have ideas. Then you check. You go back home and tell your mother, say, please, can I just borrow 2,000 naira from you? I promise you, I'll bring it back. Next you know that you are buying something from somewhere and selling somewhere else. By the end of the week, you have paid her back her money. End of the year, you are hiring one or two other people to help you. But the following year, you had an office. 7:30 every day, you're out of the house. Why? Because you utter the word one day, that the word is delivering to me my own inheritance. 10 years later, they are talking about massive distribution, haulage, warehousing, and you are now the chairman of Nigerian Shippers Council. Why? Because the word works. And one day you just opened your mouth and declared, the word is given to me, my own inheritance amongst those who are sanctified. Let's declare it, everybody. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I have my own inheritance.
I have my own inheritance.
The word is delivering it to me.
The word is delivering it.
I have my own inheritance.
I have my own inheritance.
The word is delivering it to me.
The word is delivering it.
Let's declare the word of God. Say, I am a blessing.
I have been blessed.
I am a blessing.
I have been blessed.
Like Abraham, I have been blessed,
and therefore I'm a blessing.
Listen, that's the word working. That simple statement, if you say it from the bowels of your spirit, that word will get up and say, this boy must be blessing somebody. This girl must be blessing somebody. One of the things, see, the problem in life is that we often kill. We kill the process by which the word wants to bless us. What I mean is this. That kind of young man I'm talking about that time. Somebody said, buy this and go and sell it there. There's a picture in his head where he's supposed to sell. All the boys selling there, they did not go to university. They said, no, I'm beyond that level. Pride. Pride. It has gone before the fall. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm saying this. Many of the things we teach, precepts, all of those things, go and check it. You know what God is actually doing? He's removing from us the reason why the word can't work. He's helping us strip it away. Go back to that 1 Peter, the 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, for this reason, add to your faith what? Virtue. Moral excellence, what my Bible uses, the expression. Those are the reasons why people... That's how people prevent the word from working. That kind of young man we're talking about, the word says, get up and go and do something. The idea comes to his mind strong. Suddenly he has this impression. What if I want to next I go for my alumni meeting? What will I tell my friends I'm doing? The Bible says, do not quench the spirit. And he quenches the spirit. What the word does for us, listen, all this teaching we teach, is to cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit. Because that defilement is the reason why the word can't work. The word is ready to set that young man high somewhere. As about to buy the first set and go and sell it somewhere else. And go and supply it somewhere. He suddenly remembers, all those who are doing this, they do not have an MSc like I have. No. I need a job with an official car. Then he leaves it. Then he starts praying. In the name of Jesus, Father God, what is going on? God said, you know what we'll do? You know the word still works. So the word moves him to go to church. And one person asking that the message for the day will be the dangers of pride. Somebody say the word works. The word is trying to repair him so he can deliver to him his own inheritance. So he goes there. That day, as they are talking, he goes to the pastor. Good afternoon, sir. My mother reports me. Because all the examples will be him. And listen, until that pride is killed, he's not going further. Until that pride is destroyed out of his life, he's not going further. There's something I said last time. Let me just put a pause on this and go back to what I was saying last time. Which is one of the reasons why I read that 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, by these promises we are partakers of the divine nature. That's one I ended with last time. Let me just pick it up or I explain something. He said, we are partakers of the divine nature. Why? Because of his many magnificent promises. What are those promises? It's just simple things like, I will pour my spirit upon them. Simple. So you declare, The Spirit of God is upon me. You know when Jesus Christ began to minister? You know how he began? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to do this and this and that. So you begin also. The Spirit of God is upon me. He has anointed me to succeed in life. He has anointed me to show forth his excellence. He has anointed me to be a blessing to people. That's just simple utterance. Like, let's quickly declare that before I explain it further. Say, the Spirit of God is upon me.
The Spirit of God is upon me.
Because he has anointed me
to be a blessing,
to show forth his excellence.
He has anointed me
to be a blessing,
to show forth his excellence,
to transform the lives of many.
He has anointed me for success.
He has anointed me for victory.
Please, I can't help this.
All right, I just have to say,
behold.
He's causing prosperity to flow towards me like a river.
And the wealth of the nations
like an overflowing stream.
Say, the Spirit of God is upon me.
Is the Spirit of favor.
Say, I'm a righteous man.
I'm a righteous woman.
Because of my faith in Christ Jesus.
And he surrounds the righteous
with favor
as with a shield.
So I am surrounded with favor.
Doors that are closed to other people,
they open for me.
Because I am surrounded with favor.
Because divine favor
is with me.
Say, I have ability.
I have divine ability.
I have divine ability.
Because I have been fearfully
and wonderfully made.
Please give me a second to just quickly explain that.
To be fearfully and wonderfully made simply means that you were made for a particular purpose.
How do I know? Because it says it's made everything beautiful in its time.
That is, beauty is decided by appropriateness for a function.
An aeroplane does not look like a ship. Both of them are beautiful.
None of them look like a car.
You are getting my point?
None of them look like your belt.
They don't look like your shirt.
They don't look like your car keys.
They don't look like your phone.
But you look at the phone, this phone is fine. You know, you just nod, my God.
But if you saw a plane shaped like that, you say, can this thing fly?
You know, that's the first thing that comes to your mind. Can this thing fly?
So when David was saying, I've been fearfully and wonderfully made, what he was saying, that I'm just perfect. Perfect for the function that God made me for.
So that's what we mean when we say we have divine ability to fulfill an assignment in life.
God said to Jeremiah, before you were born, I knew you.
And if you're going to read that Psalm 139, it's the same principle for every believer.
Your life, before you were born, God personally formed in your mother's womb.
I hope you're getting my point.
He said, I will give thanks to you because I've been fearfully and wonderfully made.
So declare it again. Say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I have been equipped.
I have been equipped
to be a blessing.
I have been equipped
to change my world.
I have been equipped
to overcome.
I have been equipped
to excel.
Listen, as you are saying these things, remember, the word works.
Angels hearken.
The word works.
Angels hearken.
These are the words you declare to succeed in life.
Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone.
Let me explain that thing again.
Bread refers to every natural method by which energy comes into people.
Every natural method by which energy comes into a business.
Every natural method by which energy comes into a career. That is bread.
My father is Aliko Dangote. My friend is Otedola. You know, you mention one of those names. On that business we are starting, we get money to start. Somebody say bread.
Bread.
That's bread. With this, my second class upper from a top Nigerian university, and this my MBA for a top American university or British university, I will get a job. Somebody say bread.
Bread.
Say bread.
Bread.
You know what Jesus said? The bread may work, no problem. But that's not the only thing that works. Say every word that proceeds from the mouth of God can produce what bread can produce and more. Listen, one of the things we need in life as believers is the boldness to expect. Oh, did you hear what I said? The boldness to expect. A lot of people, they feel inferior. Just feel it. That is, why? That guy is lucky. What is luck? Because, no, that in their own estimate. What do they call luck? The moment he left school, you know, his father connected him instantly. He's lucky. When you make statements like that, you are making another statement without saying anything. I am not that lucky. Let me say to you again, you need that boldness to expect. Because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. That is anything. No, was it my wife I was dealing, discussing with, or Gabriel? I said, one of the things God does because in life, as you're moving, what the Lord is doing is to use things to boost your faith. I give an illustration when I was teaching in Bonin, that's over the weekend when I wasn't around. That right now, I'm not talking little of myself. I'm not belittling myself. Okay? I'm not at all. But when you first hear it, you say, Pastor Bank, are you not confessing negatively? No, I'm not. You'll see me in a moment. I said, right now, I don't believe I can muster up the faith to receive $2 billion from the Lord. You say, Pastor Bank, you are teaching us faith. I'll tell you my reason. Because I can't conceive of the reality of $2 billion. I can talk about it. But you see, all the expenditure that I can imagine right now in my life. Now, first, I'm not trying to sound humble, okay? But generally, I don't believe, personally, you know, not because there's nothing wrong with it, but I don't believe in having some things. I don't like sports cars, as an example. I know much about them. If I sit down and analyze a Bugatti for you right here, compare a Bugatti to a Maserati, to a Ferrari and a Lamborghini. All right? So, I'm just trying to bring out something here. Let's even assume I was like that. All those cars put together, I've not spent $5 million. Assuming I was like, and I'm not even like that. So maybe you buy a private jet. I'm not an idiot. Who am I flying to? Do you get it right now? Where am I flying to right now? As at now. All the places I go will be comfortably, you know, served with a commercial flight. I look, if I get too much money, say, okay, then I'll go and be anytime I want to travel, I charter a jet. It's $500,000, $700,000. I've gone to Sokoto and back. So you see, when you look around my life, say, okay, what about other things you can do for other people? Like what? If I decide to feed everybody in Enugu, $2 billion, you won't scratch the surface. People don't know what they got $2 billion. It's all about Kingdom World Ministry. Listen, all the ideas I have for Kingdom World Ministries. No, I can share it with you. The only thing I want as property for Kingdom World is called Kingdom World Media Center. I have the picture in my head. It's something that will just be big enough, you know, take not a hall of 10,000 people. I'm not even believing God for that, you know. Just a hall that can sit a few hundreds of people and then extra halls for classrooms and stuff like that. But all of them fully equipped, you know, well air-conditioned, sealed, fully equipped with the best cameras. Bros, all of this will talk where I don't talk, so you know go need $10 million. Okay, let's push it. 50. Can you see what I'm trying to say? If you give me $2 billion now, you cause spiritual problems. Yeah. Is that your faith is small? No. It has to do with function. But when strive, Masiwa wants to talk. $2 billion to him is not how to spend. It is how to control Econet. I don't know whether I get my point. It's how to interact with, okay, MTN wants to go and launch here. They will eat into our market. How do we upgrade before they come? I don't know whether you're getting my point. He thinks, you know, money is not, I'm rich. Money is function. So he's performing a function I am not performing. Because of that, God helps him. That's where I'm going, you know. And he stirs up the faith. The man can get up one day and begin to believe for $10 billion. Because it's not as if he wants to eat more than me. It is just that he's talking about launching out networks in Egypt, networks in Kenya, network in maybe in the Middle East, or let them even move into Europe. That's what he's thinking. And I'm thinking, let us preach, and then the cost of preaching is not that high. I'm going somewhere. So you see, God stirs up your faith in life through your experiences. I don't know why God, I'm going to say here. God stirs up your faith in life through the challenges, the demands that come to you every day. So if you're a businessman, listen to this. I'm talking about man shall not live by bread alone. You're a businessman, you go to the wharf one day, maybe you're important. I say, why don't I get a ship? Ship. You know what they call ship? Container ship. Listen, when they say some people have private jets are cheap. Their pocket change matter when you're talking ship. Some people think that planes are the most expensive moving things around. No. When you want to spend money, you go and buy a boat. I don't mean small, I don't mean flying boat to Niger Delta. I mean... That's not what I mean, no. Talking about mega yachts, yeah, but when I'm talking about those ships, those container ships, those things, they are made of money. Now, but this is what I'm trying to say. You may not, in quote, now have my level of faith that you think I have. As me, you don't have it. But because you are in the kind of business that you need to move containers up and down, and one day you get to the wharf, you just look around. You see Maersk. You see one. You've seen all of them. Say, why don't I get one? And that's my message to you today. Say, how do they get it? Those men have money. Those men are connected. Are you getting my point? You will turn around and say, man shall not live by bread alone. I don't know. Are you getting my point? Yes. Your desire is stirred up there. Say, what is it? Man shall not live by bread alone. God will make all grace abound towards me. I will have all sufficiency in all things in my business, all things in my domination, you know, my fruitfulness and dominion having in my area of endeavor. This is my business. No, God can do this for me. That is, me, I'm here telling you that I don't even feel like I think I can believe. And that's because I don't need it. That's what I'm saying. So what God does, He brings up to that level. You now look and say, what is it? It's not matter. It's not human beings that made it. Say, God can double do it. What am I going to say? Anything you see around, somebody say, listen to me, listen carefully before you say it. Anything you see around, God says that He can do for you more than you can ask or even what? Imagine. Your experiences in life, what the Lord does is use those experiences to stir up your faith. You are into the petroleum industry as an example. You hear that Dangote is building a refinery for $16 billion. It must not come from your mouth. You know, he's a big man. Once you say it, you have said another thing. I'm a small man. That man's experience just let you know is doable. You just say, wow, what are we doing all this while? You mean we can do this in this country? Why not? And as you just said like that, something else has entered your soul. Next thing we'll be reading the news is that you are negotiating with some people and you are putting one on the other end for $17 billion. Next, we hear that you are the first indigenous, you know, that is private builder of a liquefying gas plant in Nigeria. Why? Because you just saw somebody else do it and say, what is it? This is doable. What God did was just to use those things to stir up your faith. I don't know what you are connecting to what I'm saying. Don't ever, there are words I shouldn't drop from your mouth. Those are the big men. Once you do that, automatically you've said another thing. We are the small ones. Declare after me. Say, in the name of Jesus. I am above. I am not beneath. Say, in the name of Jesus. I am the head. I am not the tail. Say, in the name of Jesus. I am above. My God is above all. Say, my God is above all. I am seated with him. I am seated on his right hand. With Christ Jesus in heavenly places. You know, he said, he that is from above is above all. I hope you get my point. You know, Jesus now looked and said, nothing is impossible for the one who believes. That's what I was saying. What God does in life just creates the ability for you to believe. See, Pastor Barry, so you mean you don't have the ability to believe for a whole ship? Today you see to preach. I don't know whether you're getting my point. They don't use it to preach. So that is the reason. See, believing is not just, would you hard face? No. Believing comes as, you know, let me just quickly drop something for you. There were two people in the Bible that Jesus said, in the days of the Lord Jesus, Jesus said had great faith. Just two of them. Go and read their story in my book. Great Faith Can Be Yours. You can download it free. I think we don't have copies anymore. Do we see our Felix? We don't have. You can download it free from our website. In both situations, those people were not habitual faith people. One was a Roman centurion. Not even a Jew. The other was a Syrophoenician woman. Not even a Jew. So much was she far from the covenant that Jesus had to explain to her. The woman was following, have mercy on me. My daughter is sick. Please now. Typical of Jesus, he didn't used to talk unless he needed to talk. How many times he needs to talk, I don't know why he still won't talk. I can prove that to you also. Some people came, some Greeks came and said, we are looking for Jesus. Then they went, who's the other guy they met? Then they went to Philip. Then Philip and the other guy took them, said, Jesus, they are looking for him. And Jesus just walked away. We didn't answer them. Said, the time has come for him, the Son of Man, to be crucified because they are looking for you. That's the Lord used to do that. Some people, when they came to crucify that stone, that woman, you know, he didn't talk for a long time. They were there. Yeah, get away. That's what. You're writing on it until they provoked him. Well, I'm just digressing a bit, but the point I'm making is that Jesus didn't answer that woman. They didn't say anything. The disciples had to say, please now, sir. Okay, you don't want to do it. Send her away so that we can have some peace. In response to that intercession, he called the woman to send her away. He did not call the woman to help her. He said, listen, you self check him, like we say here. You self check him. Is it right to give the children's bread to dogs? And the woman said, no, sir. It is totally not right. I didn't come here to ask for the children's bread. I came to ask for the crumbs that fall while the children are eating. The ones that they discountenance, they did not look at as anything. And Jesus said, wow, great is your faith. Go home. Your daughter is fine. She was not a habitual woman of faith. I hope you are getting my point. The other man too, he just had a servant who was sick and who he loved and who at that time was probably unconscious. And he understood the way it is. Jesus was going to have to break a lot of rules that he knew, that this centurion knew, for Jesus to come to his house. Number one, those Jews who don't eat, they don't enter the house of unbelievers. Sir, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant will be well. And Jesus said, I have not seen faith this great in Israel. My emphasis today, that those two people were not people of habitual faith. They were not. But, that's why, in fact, you know what? That's why I wrote the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. When they got to a particular time, and faith needed to be stirred up because of the passion in their heart, God granted them that gift. The spirit of faith was breathed upon them. You know what I want to say? Listen, if you follow these teachings, follow the word of God, and that is, don't even think that there's anything any human being can achieve on this earth that you can't achieve. You're in that kind of business, you go there, look at it. A spirit will enter into you and stir faith up inside your heart. And you will say to somebody, I'm going to buy a ship. How will it work? Remember what I started by saying? The world does not grant details. You just say, we will buy a ship. You say, why do you say so? Because I just found out in the scripture that I'm the head and not the tail. I'm in front, I am not behind. I am above, I am not beneath. In this our career, in this our business, this is the head matter, not a tail matter. Do you know that this is going to cost like $600 million? I'm aware. I will seek acquire one. Watch me. And then you go about your business normally. Oh, I need to add that. You go about your business how?
Normally.
It may take 6 months, may take a year, may take 5. One day, finally, you will sign some papers and it will just cruise into Nigerian harbors. And you put your whatever name you are using, Glory Liner, whatever it is, and that's it. You start loading cars and cargo. You say this one is primarily for export. Exporting, you know, agricultural produce from Nigeria. Locally produce things. And then listen to me. That is when you know you have started business. Are you getting my point? Yeah, that's called dominion. That's dominion. There's a realm of fruitfulness, there's multiplication, and there's what?
Dominion.
Why? You know why I said all of these things? Let me quickly say that. For you to bear in mind, things you experience in life, God gave them to you to stir up your faith. Don't even think that this is too big. No. That's why I give the example of those two people. The point came. They connected correctly. I don't want to go into that. In those situations, both of them, the Bible says, faith works by love. They connected correctly. They downloaded faith in a hurry. Listen, you are listening to me? God, through your hands, will do things greater than people ever imagined was possible from this land.
Amen.
Let me say it again. I said, through your hands, God will do things greater than people beforehand thought was possible from this land.
Amen.
The amen is not convincing.
Amen.
Or am I not talking to you? If it's not you, don't answer. If it is you, give me another amen.
Amen.
Thank you. It is not because of efforts. That's what I'm going to say. It's because of what? Grace. Look around. That's what I'm talking about. Use the things around to stir up faith in your heart. You've already understood now that man shall not live by bread alone. You've understood it already. Man does not live by bread alone, which means that there is anything Abramovich can do, I can do. You know, it's Abramovich. Now, some of these women don't know. Tell them. Okay, let me just say who Abramovich is. Abramovich is a Russian billionaire. You heard your husband's, your boyfriend's shout Chelsea, Chelsea, Chelsea. Or maybe you're a Chelsea fan. The guy bought Chelsea and put it in his front pocket. Because sometimes we think that because men have money, they have material resources, that means they are powerful. Listen to me, power belongs to God. Let me say it again, power belongs to God. What we need to do is fight for faith. And with us, everything is possible. Everything is possible. To you, everything is possible.
Amen.
Let me declare this to you again. God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And you are bound to every good work.
Amen.
Listen to me. God will show forth his excellence through your hands in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will go into the realm of business with no bread. And you won't turn your stones to bread. No. What are your stones? They are these solid foundations, truths that God has taught you in life. You now want to compromise them for human approval, human help. That's turning your stones to bread. Preachers do it. Mount the pulpit because God has given you power. You command people to bring money. It's called turning your stones to bread because of your own personal need. People do it. It's not only pastors that do it. Everybody, you know, people do it also. You have a small skill. Every time you connect somebody with business, you must collect a cut. We don't always do that kind of thing. We don't turn our stones to bread. Without turning our stones to bread, God will still make us have life. Say, man shall not live by bread alone. That is the things that those who have billions can do, billions of dollars, God can help you to do more than that. And listen, he will do it for you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
My message today ends with one thing. Open your eyes. Look around. Anything that's inside your field, you know, your area, we're not talking about covetousness now. Things that you just want to use to do. Remember, for us Christians, wealth is about what? The ability to do. Anything around that people have done, that's good for you to know. Because that's the least that the Lord will do for you.
Amen.
God has called you into the petroleum industry. Dangote is building a refinery for $16 billion. You should thank God for his life. You know why? Because now you know that you can build for 16.5 if you have to. You get my point? Now you know. Please, let me just add this one. Don't use your mouth to be running things you don't know. They're flying private jet. I'll tell you. Because they are going to private places. And they have private money. Because some criticism that people get involved in, it caps them in life. It caps them. A lot of people talk nonsense. Why is Bishop Oyedepo charging 500,000 naira a year for school fees? How can you be charging it after it's a mission school? Because it's mission supermarket now. You'll now be a filling station. You'll be buying fuel at 15 naira a liter. So there are poor people. Who cares whether you are poor or rich? You drive a car inside into that place, you pay the correct price.
Yes, sir.
That's life. And by the way, let me not go there. What those men are charging, only missions can charge it. Only missions can dare it. I told that to one of my colleagues in the office the other day. He trained in Spain. I said, Winners charges, Covenant Investors charges about 550,000, about 500,000 a year in tuition fees. You know what he said? He said, who's paying the rest? That was his question. He said, how are they managing that? Who pays the rest? That was the question he asked me. I said, you are the first human being to respond like this. Every other person will say, how can the people pay? He said, that amount for a university, private, with that level of infrastructure they have. He said, where did they get money from? I said, actually, it's a mission university. He said, okay, that explains it. That is the only reason they can charge that low. Why did I go there? I don't even know. I'm just saying, stop talking nonsense. Warn your mouth not to spoil your destiny. That's what I'm saying. Just warn your mouth. Say, be careful. Anything you don't know, not talk. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. My message is that stir up your faith. Look around. If it's in your field, it can be done. You're an educationist. You can own 4 universities in Nigeria. And you will bless people with it. Are you getting my point? You're a doctor. You're a medical person. Nigerians won't go to India for anything. They won't go to America. They won't go to for any procedure in Europe. Why? Because you are alive. So where would the money come from? Look to the book of the Lord and read. None of this will fail. Neither will any lack its meat. Because once the mouth, the prophetic word has gone forth like this, the spirit will go out and go and gather. Are you getting my point? Listen, you will stop unnecessary medical tourism from Nigeria in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The resources to do it will flow towards you like a river.
Amen.
And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream.
Amen.
How do we activate grace? That's what we do. We take the word of God and bam, just be declaring it. We don't even need details. We don't need details. We don't even need details. Jesus didn't give details to the tree. He just said, nobody will eat your fruit again. You can just wake up in the morning and say, in this life, this is my career, in this is my area, in my ministry, I will not be average. I will bless people tremendously around the earth. I just wake up in the morning, just declare it. I will bless every medium available. And as you are sitting there, I remember when my wife and I first started, when we first hired this place, some 12 years ago. Just party, you're doing some work here and there. We came up, the carpenters were working. This place was partitioned then, broken to me. Because it grows, that's why we broke down all the other walls so that we'll have more space, you know? One day we just sat there and said, from here, this gospel will be declared to the whole earth. Now, I didn't even know we'll still be here when we're declaring it. I just thought that, you know, foundation and those kind of things. 3 years later, one woman in town started a TV channel. I said, Pastor Banks, come on it. Covering Africa. But the thing didn't go well. But that ignited something in us. We started looking for where do we go next. We went to NTA. After a while, Kingston. We had a co-workers meeting. Kingston now came and said, sir, I checked one, Omega Channel, and another one. So we went, researched Omega Channel, sent them an email. They responded to us. That has been how many years now? We have been airing weekly without interruption on Omega Channel since that time. Why? Because at the beginning, my wife and I, just the two of us, we came here and we prayed. Say, from here, we'll broadcast this gospel all over the world. I didn't even know much about, you know, internet, all those kind of things. Before we knew what was happening, things just kept on moving. Each season, God will open a door, we'll walk into it. Grace will open doors for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said, grace will open doors for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
A word came to my mind, you will be a global brand.
Amen.
Whoever is for, take it. You will be a global brand.
Amen.
Your brand will be global.
Amen.
When you hear the name Coca-Cola, it was not made by spirits. I mean, at least in that sense. It was human beings. Let's not forget Coca-Cola. It's been there for a long time. When the Samsung showed up the other day, I saw the name Samsung for the first time in my life after I finished NYS. 93, 94, the first time. I was watching Eurosport. I just saw one company advertise Samsung. Then one day I went to market. I saw television Samsung. Said, they make television too. Now, the name Samsung is one of the most widely known names on this earth. You know that? I think it's even more known than Apple. You know why? Apple has an apple. There's the fruit apple. There's nothing else like Samsung. What food do you eat at Samsung? That is out of nowhere. They launched that name. you will be a global brand.
Amen.
Don't forget, I didn't give an explanation of why. What just required from you is what? Be it unto me according to your word. Somebody say that.
Be it unto me according to your word.
Say it again.
Be it unto me according to your
say it again.
Be it unto me according to your
say it again.
Be it unto me according to your
I'm going to say another thing. You will say the same thing. God will make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things. You will abound to every good work. Give me that.
Be it unto me according to your word.
You will be the head and not the tail.
Be it unto me according to
your word. You are the head and not the tail.
Be it unto me according to your word.
Now listen to this. Don't respond to it. I just want to tell you. Please, never ever think somebody else is lucky. You know why? I've realized before I used to people do, you are not disadvantaged. But I've now realized that actually, the way they do it, without realizing that when they think somebody else is lucky. Like I said to you, I don't say money is good anymore. Money is not good. It's God that is good. Money is a tool. Are you getting my point? So anytime they say, you need a lot of money for this, I just say, God is good though. In the same manner, if you hear that Dangote is building a refinery for $16 billion, you know what you do? God is good though. Do you get my point?
Yes.
Listen, if you hear anything, that's what I'm going to emphasize. If you hear that, oh, maybe like I said, one company just launched, Stratmass CEO said that he raised $1.5 billion to buy Econet shares so he can get majority shares. You know, you can say, man, that man is powerful. Don't utter it again. What did I say? Because when you say that, say, I can't do that. That's what you're saying. How do you respond? How do you respond?
God is good.
Just look and say, God is good. God is good. Listen to me. What I was saying earlier about me not being able to take $2 billion, it's not because I'm unable. I'm just trying to explain to you that, you see, your faith rises up to the level of what you are able to, I mean, what is the realm of your doing. That was what I was trying to explain. If you give me $2 billion personally, and I'm not a businessman. Don't distract me. I don't want to buy. I don't want to sell. what I'm talking about. What people call doors open. I tell people, human doors is not an issue for me. Do you get my point? You know why? Man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone. Listen to me. I'm going to emphasize to you. Don't look at anybody and say the person is lucky. You are blessed.
Amen.
I said you are blessed.
Amen.
I said you are blessed.
Amen.
You are blessed in the morning.
Amen.
You are blessed in the afternoon.
Amen.
You are blessed at night.
Amen.
In the depth of the night when you are sleeping, you are blessed.
Amen.
When you are sleeping, angels are working for you.
Amen.
God will send you all the kinds of help that you need in this life. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. Turn to somebody on your left and your right and bless the person. Cheer up, brethren.